Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, survivors, caregivers, and all of our followers. We hope that you've been enjoying the month of April and are ready for tonight's show. To wrap up our April series, we are having a phenomenal guest who is calling all the way in from Australia. That's right, Australia. Who I'm referring to is Professor Saw. He is the director of the Queensland Brain Institute, QBI, at the University of Queensland in Australia. His research offers a wide range of hope and treating conditions for not only anxiety and depression, but also PTSD and other aspects, including traumatic brain injuries. So since he's taking time out of his busy schedule to be on tonight's show, we're going to go ahead and get this started. Professor Saw, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, James. Lovely to chat with you. It's good to talk to the United States.
Thank you for the opportunity, Professor. And I know you're taking a lot of time out of your busy schedule, so we'll go ahead and get the show started. So I'm just curious, first and most importantly, what got you involved as the director in the Queensland Brain Institute?
Well, look, I've been, I trained as a medic, as a doctor here in Australia many years ago, then decided that I got interested in neurological things from the medical perspective. And when I started training, it became very clear to me that, look, you know, while we understand a lot about the heart and orthopedics and all those kinds of things, understanding of brain function was really in its infancy. And we really weren't doing a lot for our patients. As, you know, many of your listeners would realize, you know, all the disorders of the nervous system, which includes mental disorders, don't have a lot of very good treatments. And realistically, you know, when I was a medical student, going back a long, long time now, you know, there was even less, basically. And so I thought, well, this is what I'm interested in. And then I became interested in the research side of stuff and then did a PhD, basically, and got involved in neuroscience that way. And when the Brain Institute got formed 20 years ago, I was recruited here as a founding member of the Institute. I was running a laboratory in Canberra. I mean, I had been in San Francisco for a bunch of years at UCSF as well, studying brain function in mice. It's not the same as in humans. But when the Institute got formed, you know, it was a very attractive opportunity to come and work, you know, with a pile of like-minded people with similar interests. So that's how I became involved in the QBI. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing, not only what you're doing, but how long you've been involved with it. And I'm sure that has a huge impact on why you're doing the research, like I had mentioned, on anxiety, depression, PTSD, and other neurological disorders.
Indeed, indeed. And really, you know, if you look at the statistics in our society today, that's in Australia and America, very similar, and it's all through the first world, really, where the burden of disease from mental disorders, it actually accounts for half the burden of disease in society today. You know, we hear a lot about cancer, and sure, it's very important to treat cancer. But in fact, the burden of disease is really from mental disorders. And as we get older, you know, as a population, that's getting worse and worse because, you know, we're living a lot longer, you know, for good reasons. But along with it has come the burden of disease, you know, anxiety, depression, dementia. I'm sure a lot of your listeners know someone who's had depression. And of course, traumatic brain injury, you know, and we can talk about that, which, you know, happens at all types of life. But, you know, as we get older and live longer, you know, the brain injuries also get more and more and more. So, and we have very few established treatments for these things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very true. You know, and how you mentioned not only, of course, depression, anxiety, dementia, and things, one aspect that is very common, especially with a brain injury, and also even those with, there are stages where it happens without a brain injury, is fear. Our brain has a very drastic and catastrophic response to fear, as I'm sure you're aware with your studies.
Indeed, indeed. You know, my laboratory actually focuses in part on this area of the brain called the amygdala, which is involved in processing emotions. And, you know, fear is a very old system, which is there for good reasons. You know, it's to make you cautious, if you like, about the world and be aware of where danger might lie, you know. And that's fair enough, right? I mean, before we had, you know, the modern world with the big cities and things, we were wandering around the savannas, you know, hunting, just like living, you know, in the bush, if you like. And, of course, there you have to be aware of dangers, not just from other animals, but, you know, where there's other sorts of dangers as well, and be prepared to learn about it, remember it, and make ourselves safe, you know, ourselves and our families safe, basically. And that system can go awry, as it does in PTSD and anxiety and depression. And, you know, it's a fine line between it being a bad thing and between requiring treatment.
And, you know, I think that's also great how you listed how those all really are kind of combined together, but it's also very important, not only for our listeners, but also the general public to realize that all those stages happen, of course, not only in the general public, but they are really common in soldiers or especially athletes that have any form of a brain injury. Even if it's labeled AKA a mild concussion, there's still going to be a ripple effect of all of those areas, unfortunately.
Yeah. And it's like it's coming from all sorts of places. You know, there's car accidents, there's sport, and the sport is obviously a good thing to do, for us, but along with it has come with the growth in sport and a lot of athletic activities. The concussion side of stuff is growing, as you well know from the NFL in the United States. You know, there's a growing chorus of voices saying that, look, we need to watch out what we're doing. And same is happening in Australia. And brain injury is one of those areas where, you know, we don't really, we have some ideas, we don't have a lot of good treatments for either, really. And unfortunately, you know, for brain injury, it often happens in our younger years, you know, as you know, James, and as do I, you know. And we were talking earlier, and, you know, both of us have gone through these ourselves. And, you know, the treatments for it, you know, the hospital system is very good in both our countries, but there's still a lot to be learned and, you know, how we can actually best treat people with those kinds of injuries. Yeah,
I agree, and I think it's very helpful, not only when there's people like you that are behind the wheel putting in time and effort in research from knowing it on a personal standpoint, but also helping with the power of technology, which is a great form of education to the general public. How, look at this neurological disease has been around forever. It's always going to be around. There are different ways to have it addressed instead of thinking it was no big deal to move on. But nonetheless, you can't avoid it entirely. It can happen even when you least expect it. But again, with individuals like you, you're really helping tackle the burden of the disease and changing it instead of not only awareness, but also to a form of education and hope for those that have gone through it, or if you have not gone through it, you need to learn about the different levels of awareness.
Very much so, very much so. And you know, what you said is exactly right. You know, it can happen when you least expect it, and you know, for different reasons. And different people, you know, we have become aware, different people respond differently to it. But you know, what's really, when we look around, when we looked around here, it's in Australia, what's different is that, and I'm sure it's the same in the States, if you go around to different jurisdictions, for example, if you change from state to state, or you go to different areas of even the same state, you know, different places, depending on what expertise they happen to have and what their background and history is, they treat people differently, right, in those places. And you might get treated one way, one place. And particularly in Australia, this is really absolutely the case when you go into rural areas. You know, you get treated one way in the big cities, you know, where we have all the infrastructure there. But as soon as you're out in the countryside, if you like, treatment is very different. And often there's not even good guidelines. And this is the kinds of things we're interested in doing is, you know, not just understanding the biology of what goes on, but really the end thing is to have guidelines for, you know, how do you deal with someone who's had a mental disorder? How do you treat head injury, for instance? You know, what are the best ways to do? And the kinds of things we're thinking about is, look, if you have an injury on the sporting field, how do you advise that person? You know, what do you say? You need to sit this game out. You know, do you need to go back on the field today? Or should you just take it easy for, I don't know, a month or something, right? And those are the kinds of guidelines that are not there right now. And that involves all the way across from a sporting injuries on the field to having been involved in a car accident to falling off a bike. You know, those things all cause head injuries, and you need better guidelines and therapies for it. And a lot of that is really going to be underpinned by basic research. And, you know, we're just beginning to understand what happens in the brain and how things change. And also, as you were saying, the technology about how you go and look to see what's gone wrong, all that is changing. And we here at the QBI certainly are putting together, you know, multidisciplinary teams. That's really the way forward, where you have not just someone who's struggling in the laboratory, but you need to be talking to people in the field, you need to be talking to the clinicians, you know, you need to be talking to the families as well, you know, across the board, and you come up with thinking about how you have better guidelines and better therapies.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought up better guidelines and better therapies, because not only that, just like the research that you've been doing and for the past 15 plus years, this is helping change lives. And for example, and I want to get some of your expertise guidelines, not only for our listeners, but also for parents, because today in children alone, which as we all know, when you sustain a brain injury, it alters not only your now, if you will, but also in the future, it's going to adjust. So when you have all these young age kids playing contact sports, which is, I understand, there are some positive aspects to it where it's building teamwork, relationships, guidance, believing in yourself, believing in others, et cetera. Mm. But the negative aspect is you're changing their brain at an early age that is really going to affect them in their personal, professional development later on the road. Like, for example, just in today, millions of children do play contact sports while their brains are in critical phases of development, as you know. But when children go through, even if it's only one concussion, or even if it's not labeled as a concussion, because it might look as if it's not that big of a concern, they're still sustaining brain damage that leads to mental illness, depression, anxiety, fear, schizophrenia, suicidal thoughts, impulsivity, and so much more. So what do you think, from your expertise and also being a brain injury survivor yourself, about children being involved in contact sports when their brains are developing?
Mm. Yeah, look, it's a good point, right? Look, I think, you know, it's important to know, to realize that, you know, contact sports, for all the reasons that you mentioned, is a good thing to be involved in, right? Not just from the fact of the team building and, you know, the adjustment, the camaraderie, you know, to be able to interact with other people, all that you learn from those sports. But on the other side of the coin is, you know, it's physical exercise, right, which is a good thing. So there's a lots and lots of benefits. And overall, the number of children, you know, or let's not just call them children, up to the, say, in teenage years, playing sport is growing. But the number of people who actually suffer from concussions is actually a pretty small number, all said and done, right, compared to the number of people actually out there participating. And really, you know, our feeling really is what you really need is a better understanding of how you're going to treat people and manage them once they have an injury. Let's not call it a concussion. Let's say any sort of injury. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, the thing is that it's just the same way as you're not going to say, look, you know, you don't drive cars because, you know, you could have been in a car accident. It's the same sort of thinking, but, you know, you should be having better ways to deal with people once they have a bash on the head of some sort, you know, to be able to have a better advice on the side of the field, but also be able to have things like biomarkers. This is what we're looking for here. One of the things we're looking for is a biomarker is something, a measurement that you do, right? So that might be, okay, just spit into this bottle and I'll test what's going on. Or if the severe injury, I'll take a bit of blood and test what's in your blood, all right? And based on that, you give advice as to what you should do. And as your listeners will know this really well, you know, when you're playing in, let's say, top-grade football teams or top-grade hockey teams, right, you have an injury and someone who's involved in that sport, the only thing they want to do is get back up and get back on the field.
True.
You know, it's something that they've invested time and energy and they're passionate about. And, you know, of course, you know, when you're 15 and playing in the top grade sport, you're not really thinking about some damage that might show itself 10 years down the road. You know, that's the last thing you're thinking about. But if we had a better way to assess and test those people by the side of the field, you know, now you have a much better situation. And realistically, you know, injuries will keep happening, lest they happen in any other part of life.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be able to treat, let's say, 80% of people who have these injuries. You know, we get the best possible outcomes we can. Okay. And really, I don't think the way forward is to ban sports and say, look, you shouldn't be playing these sports. You know, but to think about, and also those guidelines, we think should go towards dealing with the rules that underpin that sport, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which are not so easy to do, as I'm sure your listeners will know. You know, if you take American football, for instance, you know, the rules that guide that sport, that as it currently stands, to change those, you know, it needs a very detailed discussion and thinking about the evidence, if you like, right, as to
mm-hmm.
how would you change it, what would you change it, so that it still doesn't change the game itself, but still makes it safer and, you know, it's more tractable. So, and it's coming, and I think in large part it will be driven by research from places like ours. Yeah.
I agree, and I think what's very phenomenal about, again, not only the examples that you listed, but also with the title that you just stated at the end, researchers like you, the more researchers understand about the brain, the closer it's going to get to really making similar outcomes not happen for brain diseases, but it's also most importantly going to help drive society's understanding and connecting the dots between not only contact sports and brain injuries, but also just brain injuries as a whole, mental health issues, and also the long-term side effects that do or can happen because they're all different to an invisible disability.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's pretty clear, you know, it's from the perspective of societies and countries that we do find treatments for these because, you know, you can just see what's happening with dementia, right? I mean, if you
mm-hmm.
think about it, from the time that we were youngsters, people are probably living 5 or 6 years longer in general, you know, and there's no indication that's about to slow down, particularly in the first world, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
countries like Australia and the USA, which are economically very stable and are wealthy countries all said and done, you know, we can expect to live into our 90s and maybe, you know, in the next 50 years, we'll be living, you know, into our hundreds, right? Yeah, early hundreds. And the downside of all of that is, you know, things like dementia, Parkinson's disease, stroke, you know, for those diseases of the elderly years, we will see more of them, right? There's no question we'll see more of them. And we do need to think about, you know, how are we going to manage and treat those conditions and have better treatments for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even better early diagnoses. Yeah.
I agree. You know, and once again, I want to thank you for all you do, your personal aspect and the guidance that you give on a daily basis, especially to our listeners. But I also know you're taking time out of your busy schedule and you have a lot on your plate. So I want to ask you a few more questions, then I'll let you keep on going with your busy schedule. You know, with our listeners, what are some of the guidance or steps that you recommend for especially parents that they should really take either understanding more aspects of a brain injury or getting more involved in different research articles? Or what do you recommend for them to learn more?
Well, I think, look, it's good to research the area, right? And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and don't just depend on Google.
That's sure.
one
yes.
thing, all right? And really what we always tell people that we talk to is if you suspect anything, go and see a medical practitioner, all right? It's really important you go and talk to a medical practitioner rather than take things into your own hands, all right? Particularly when it's children we're talking about, it's really important that they get properly assessed, right? And, you know, it's one thing to read the literature and I keep stressing this over and over again, go and seek proper medical advice before you make any decisions what you're going to do next.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very important. And I think it's also important, you said, you know, do research. Of course, don't only rely on Google because sometimes that gives you an interesting response, as we all have experienced. Even when we're typing in, oh, why do I have a cough? And then it gives you a complete downfall of why. But I think what's good when you continue to do research on brain injuries, no matter, you get to learn about how it can change your life or someone that you know's life, but it also educates you on the different styles of brain injuries, the different responses. But most importantly, it helps you learn what has actually scarily been going around for decades and can happen anywhere, at any time.
That doesn't mean, you know, you don't go and look on the web, but certainly don't depend on it.
Exactly. And I think it's also good how you mentioned, you know, go and see a medical attention. You know, you're going to see someone that's a professional, not just saying going to see a regular doctor. They're good, but you want to see someone that specializes in that, in neurological care. So that is their forte. That is their special. They have a long-term understanding about that. But also, like a doctor always says, go and get different opinions, because some are going to tell you A, B, and C, and some are like, no, this is completely different. This is X, Y, and Z. This is what you need to do now.
You know, the other thing I would say is, you know, if you're looking after children, parents' intuitions about kids' behavior, their mm-hmm. children's behavior, is a good starting point, you know, and put some belief in it. That's what I would say. You know, if you're worried, you know, as a parent, you're the person who probably knows best, particularly to do with stuff that's happening with mental stuff. Yeah.
I agree. Well, Dr. Shah, I want to thank you once again. Like I've said numerously, I want to thank you for all you do, your time, and also allowing our listeners to learn more about you, your hope, and also the difference that you're making with brain injury studies and helping us understand more of the mind itself. Before I wrap this up so you can get going on with your busy schedule, do you have any questions for me?
I don't have any questions, but I mean, look, I would say to people, you know, there's not many brain institutes around the world, you know, mm-hmm. places like this. But if they're looking for information, you know, feel free to trawl our website, where we have magazines that we publish as well there. Not publish, sorry. We have them for free downloading. And So, Darren, you know, I guess the thing is, you know, hopefully in the States there is a growing idea that, you know, is the science funding in the States developing to support this kind of research, you know, at least in your state? And I guess you're in Texas, right?
Yes, sir.
So it's important to get support from, you know, the community and government. It costs money.
It does, but support does not from the community. It's the act of kindness, but it's also, again, doing like you are with the research. You're helping change lives and really understand that once we learn more and more and advance ourselves with every step towards understanding the brain, it really does hold a promise for us personally and professionally.
Indeed.
Well, I appreciate it, Professor Shah. Thank you so much for the opportunity to connect. I hope you have a great day, and thank you for all you do and the difference that you and your team have been making for the past 15 plus years, but that will continue to do. It's an honor to be able to connect with you and call you my friend.
Thanks very much, James. It's you know, so nice to talk with you. All the best. Cheers. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Wow, everyone, what a great opportunity that was to hear from Professor Shah. And as you heard, he gave some great guidance, support, and also education to help us and, of course, the general public. If you would like to learn more about him and his work, like he said, he does have some availability to learn more about the magazine called The Brain, and there's also some other educational aspects at the University of Queensland in Australia. Please comment or message us, and we'd be happy to send you the links. Stay tuned with all of our TBI movement support and guidance, and help others learn that can change their life forever, and that you are not the only one if you've been touched by a brain injury. One love.